It's bad. Anime.
Hello, everybody. My name is John.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Bad Anime, a show where I knew I was going to do it at some point. I knew I was going to mess it up. I've done it like 100 times, and I knew it was coming one day, and I just didn't know when.
You've forgotten it a few times.
I have. You're right. But this time, I knew what I was going to do. I just flubbed it.
This time you were ready, but you couldn't hit the ball. You couldn't pass go, collect $200. You couldn't kiss the fella. I'm Rob.
And this is Bad Anime, the podcast where we decide, is this anime bad? All right, now that that's out of the way.
now that we're here, what do we have to say about Metallic Rouge? Because,
well,
in contrast to how we usually do this, where we watch things very close to like time of recording, I'm infamous for doing that. This one I watched well in advance.
Yeah. Yes, I did as well. Quite a while ago. You know why? Because we thought that we were going to put it in Mecha March.
We originally thought so because for some reason they tagged this as a mech anime. Yes, the show is about androids, but it's not someone controlling a robot. So it's sentient androids that are basically humans.
Yes, so it's interesting because like we were actually having a discussion about this because like they're not controlling a robot. They are the robot.
Yeah.
So, but are they a mech? I think technically that they are, but it just didn't like fit the same genre as a lot of the other things that we were covering for Mecha March.
Exactly. So
it really didn't like go as nicely with everything. I think it would have been more of a debate episode on is this a mech or is this not a mech? And
we still have an element of that now, but to your point, yeah, it didn't feel right in the spirit of Mecha March, which is about robots of various sizes getting destroyed, blown up, fun time. Got it.
Right.
Mecha March was so much.
Mecha March was great, and this is just in the ashes of Mecha March. Yeah, we're kind of weaning off the teat of Mecha March right now.
Yes, this is our palate cleanser, so to speak.
Yeah. Exactly.
And we only did a three episode rule on this because it's a very recent series.
Just came out this year.
Picked entirely because I saw the mecha tag and I saw a girl who was half robot. So I'm like, okay, let's see how this goes.
Yeah, let's see. This has always gone well for us before.
Yeah, and the story is really cool because it's every anime ever. It just is. I mean,
it definitely tries to do so much.
Yeah.
And it kind of does it, but it just tries to pull together all these different genres, tries to be mech, tries to be political, tries to be like, I don't know. It tries to talk about race, coming of age, all this stuff that we've seen in animes before, but animes that very much have focused on that one or two specific topics.
Yeah, they're not
in a cyberpunk universe. This is just kind of in a cyberpunk universe, and they're like, there are all these problems. Oh my God.
Yeah, and it's a weird cyberpunk universe because usually cyberpunk is restricted to one city, where this, they're doing a little bit of traveling. Episode 2, for example.
They're
just basically strolling through Tatooine or whatever.
They're in a desert. They're going somewhere.
Yeah, they're going from city to city in this like armored tank thing. They get attacked and Rouge has to be like, "Well, time for me to be a robot again." It's like, "What's happening?"
Yeah, so kind of to pull back a little bit, right? The first episode, the expositionary stuff on this show, I thought, was decently promising.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's that whole thing of Rouge, who's the main character, is kind of like half robot, half human. You have this race of humans and a race of robots that occupy this world.
Yes.
The robots are called Nyans or something like that. I just pictured them saying Nyan Cat, so I just called them Nyan Cats. So I was like, okay, sure. We have the humans and we have Nyan Cats. Nyan cats need this thing to drink every day to keep them alive. It's called heaven. Whoops. Both made the same joke.
Just dove right head first. Like, it's like, yeah. Well, we have to remind everyone of the fact that we watch Kamen Rider Black Sun. So
you have to. As if I could ever forget that we watched.
We're more weeb than a lot of people.
Somehow.
It's like, hey, you guys haven't watched One Piece. You guys aren't weebs. Have you seen Kamen Rider Black Sun?
That's in the depths. down there.
And they look at us like we're silly folk.
And I'm like, don't. It's disgusting.
And I say do because it's disgusting.
Don't. Please don't. Nobody do that.
Eat some undercooked pizza and then. I was ready to talk about New Haven Pizza this entire time because.
Oh, good. Me too.
In between us about to record this episode, we eventually decided like, hey, Let's get pizza. We're both located in the great in the general New York area.
Yes.
You know, in between the city and Long Island, respectively. Mm-hmm. So we met up and we said, hey, instead of getting pizza anywhere close to either of us, let's take a 2-hour train to New Haven, Connecticut.
Yeah, because we realized.
Let's wake up at like 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, meet at Grand Central Terminal, and then just do that.
Yeah, and we did. Because, you know, there's not really any pizza in New York.
Yeah, no, not
decided, you know, we just got to get out of here and see.
It's hot dogs.
See if they have it elsewhere. I know, exactly. Right? It's just nuts pizza. And hot dogs on the streets these days.
Yeah, everywhere. You can't find any pizza in New York.
No pizza ever. So yeah, we went to New Haven. It was delicious. We had a great time.
Well, technically, you don't get pizza in New Haven. You get Abitz.
Abitz. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They put in like in the weird pizza
like area that is New Haven, Connecticut, which I'm still trying to wrap my head around how like small big it is.
Small big.
Because there's only a few areas that people are actually go, and like there's only the only population I saw the entire day were people standing outside pizza shops. So I mean, weird city.
Because it's a super popular pizza destination now, and we walked down their Little Italy, like the Wooster Street. You're laughing now because it was the funniest, one of the funnier interactions we've had in a while. We start at the end of the block. We get to the end. I'm like, oh, that's Wooster Street, and you're just like, that's it.
It's like there were two pizza shops and like a bakery.
Yeah, it was literally three pizza shops, a fourth one that's no longer open because it didn't get a good review from Dave Portnoy, so
it got taken down. And then there's a pastry shop.
There's a pastry shop, a pasta place, and that's about it.
That was it. The whole street, that's your Little Italy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And like we said, there are lines around the block for Pepe's and Sally's, the two famous ones around there.
Mm-hmm.
We chose to go to Modern Abitz, which is my favorite of the bunch. So I went to school in New Haven, so I do have some familiarity with the area. Let me just throw another ball in my hipster basket, and I missed. Sweet. but that was great because we went there, and they have like a little entrance kind of foyer type duster room kind of setup because the building mm-hmm. was built presumably in like the fucking 40s.
Yeah,
where like you know. You a little room to wipe your feet. Now it's basically a waiting room, and we chose to wait inside because there's a ton of people outside. But we inside was a little cramped. But inside, they had a beer cart set up, and they're like $5 a beer. I'm like, for all of this? They're like, for like any of these products? I'm like, because they had everything from Bud Light and Michelob Ultra, which we were drinking for some reason.
Because we had to.
Happy end of OBF, by the way. It's like March 3rd at the time of recording.
It is. Oh, thank God. One beer February. It's something we do every year. You've heard about it if you've been a long time listener.
So that's what we were doing because we went there in the middle of February. But they were like, hey, but if we wanted to, we could have gotten like double IPAs for the same price. I'm like, why do you have double IPAs here?
The
like,
same price, too.
Same price. And I'm like, you trying to get people drunk before they get pizza?
So Rob, let me just ask you a quick question.
Sure.
What are you having for lunch? I'm thinking about ordering salmon bushes for lunch.
Yeah. Doing dinner with my uncle later. I'm excited.
Great.
Yeah, it was his birthday 2 days ago. I want to talk about pizza, damn it.
But we have to talk about Metallic Rouge today.
I know.
We are contractually obligated to talk about Metallic Rouge.
Yes, we are. Rouge herself is like, she is a half robot, but she's not visually indicated as being so. Because the rest of like the Neons, you can like see it. They have these little like circuit. I can only describe them as like circuitry scars, and they're kind of a pale gray color.
Yeah, they are.
Where
she just looks like an e-girl. So
yeah, exactly. Well, anime.
Yeah.
And she has the assistant.
Yes, Naomi.
Naomi. Yeah, she was the one with like the white hair.
Yeah, and she like controls a bird in the first episode, but then that bird gets destroyed and she shows up and she's like, where's my bird at?
She's basically like the typing like sidekick from the Burn Up series where she's like the tech support. Basically.
The hacker type.
Tech support kind of person. That's her role in the story.
Very much so.
They have a fight at one point and I was just like, ugh.
Yeah, the thing is, they try to do a lot here, as we said up top, but I feel like every decision that was made kind of no sense. Like, I felt at the end of every episode and the beginning of the next episode, I feel like I had missed a few things. Because, like, I think the first episode, maybe the second episode, she Rouge gets in a fight with a legendary pop singer because the legendary pop singer is one of this group of nine robot humans that kind of are like Rouge that have these crazy android forms that...
That was the first episode, yes.
I guess they're bad or something. I that didn't really come across that much.
Yeah, like I think one of the subplots is Rouge is trying to find these nine like people.
Yeah, and they're like her, like a human android equivalent, and they all can turn into these, I guess, mech adjacent sort of things for combat purposes.
Yeah, she wants to find the seven Dragon Balls, whatever.
I don't remember why they were bad.
No, I don't remember the point.
I don't remember why she fought that pop star, too. That was kind of weird because she was the pop star's assistant.
Yeah.
And the pop star just randomly is like, hey, meet me at this weird abandoned stadium for no reason on a Tuesday.
And then the red comic shows up. No, wait, that's Shara. Yeah.
Whatever that guy's name is. Yeah, the villainous guy, whatever his name is. He's also one of the nine.
They refer to her as the red blur, basically, or something to that effect, because like she's like the super fast red robot. So
Right. And she beats the pop star in combat.
But does she even go into her mech form in the second in the other two episodes? I don't remember.
I think maybe at the end of the third one she does to combat something, because I think they like wanted to. They were getting attacked by like some kind of thing.
That was the second episode.
Oh, second episode. Was it a giant plant?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It was a big plant.
Yeah, the desert. Yeah.
Yeah.
The third episode ends with an assassination. There's like the robot who was like designed to, like the neon who's designed to be like a kid for those who don't have families of their own.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
A kid for those who can't have kids. So he had like 27 parents or whatever. So he's learned a lot over his years about humans. And he gets assassinated for some reason.
I don't remember any of that.
I
definitely watched the third episode. I feel like
goes like to the Neon City, basically.
Oh, and they kill her.
No, they kill like the little kid.
Oh, because they were on their way to the Neon City, right?
No, they got there.
They got there.
Yeah, and the cat from the second episode, who was the butler to like the two rich folk, the two rich human folk, he was there too. They were they're having some meeting about like independence and like the progression of their robot race.
Yeah.
But okay. I love the doctor character here. The doctor who like works in all the neons.
Mm, yeah, he was pretty cool actually. I remember him.
He pointed out one of my general observations of how hypocritical everyone is. Mm-hmm. And just in like a global scale, but it was in this, it was combined. It was just obviously within the context of the show. They were like, yeah, you guys say you want equality until you realize that's not enough.
And I was like, damn.
Yeah, like, damn, that's a powerful message.
Damn, and bro. Like, yeah. Actually, that's pretty cool.
You know, I loved that. I remember saying to you on the train to New Haven, I said, this show did hit on a nerve that I really liked. And I love that mentality of just like, you know, how something can start off as a peaceful protest and then descend into violence,
riots,
just how humanity gets sometimes when the mob mentality takes over too far in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then like our pack animal instincts start kicking in.
Yeah, that's like, what was interesting was that was the most interesting thing, theme or sentence that was said in the entire first three episodes. And it happened in the third one.
Yes.
And it made me think after I heard that and after I kind of got that idea, I was like, oh, huh, is this enough for me to keep going?
Really? Was that strong of a pull for you? That
one? No, not at all. But I wondered if it was.
Right. I don't know if I went that far. I it was one of those moments where hold on, I'm trying to remember. There was a show we watched in particular where like that occasionally would accidentally be good every once in a while. I'm like, why are you sometimes good? I forget what episode that was, but
oh, okay. Was it a three episode rule?
I don't remember. Or if it was a movie or whatnot, where I said like, yeah, sometimes the show, this product remembers to be good. And that was this moment here where the show was good for a second.
Yeah. For a second.
It showed some interesting themes. I mean, animation wise, fine.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I really dug the animation actually.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was cool.
I didn't hate or love it necessarily. Mm-hmm. I thought Rouge did look cool in a metallic form, you know.
Yeah, I thought the metallic suits looked pretty awesome, actually. I really enjoyed those.
The whole thing red is very Super Sentai Power Rangers Kamen
Rider.
Yes,
very Power Rangers.
Yep. When she transformed, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's also raised one of the main reasons I didn't want to include him back in March anymore, because this essentially is a superhero show.
That
about
yeah, I guess
about
so.
About racism, yeah.
Yeah, about racism and kind of freedom, because there is that. I feel like every anime does this now too, but yeah. You know, Rouge is like in the third episode, I think, going over a lot of thoughts about like, oh, I'm like free, but am I really free? And I'm like, oh my gosh, shut up.
Well, that's
hear
the
that
thing now.
All the time.
So many fucking animes now are like we talked about before, are like, I'm a slave to my work environment. I'm a slave to my X, right. Y, and Z. I don't feel anything anymore. My life is drab until there's color. We're Japan, we're depressed.
This is a direct summary of Zom 100.
Zom 100, Overtake. I mean, it's all the same shit.
Yeah, right, right.
Wow, getting very negative here.
Yes. The next 100 episodes are going to be very fascinating to see where we end up on 200.
Well, that's the thing, because the more modern anime we're watching, we're like, oh, this is all the same.
A lot of it bleeds together, and I was really hoping for something a little different here, because the amount of like 80s stuff that we've watched that has been kind of cyberpunk adjacent is always increasing in number. And
yeah.
I was intrigued to see what they could do with the genre and kind of the similar medium in today with modern animation techniques. I definitely wasn't impressed, which was sad.
Also, it's hard now because you had Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which was really good.
Yeah, and that was incredible. Yeah,
so that's a very high bar to clear.
Yeah, it does. It is. And this, I feel like, didn't kind of come really close at all.
No, it didn't fucking approach it.
The whole time, like, there were stakes, but they weren't very... They didn't seem, like, huge. Because I feel like I wasn't terribly invested in the characters.
Honestly, obviously, our reactions were both whatever to the show. Presumably, we're both out because it was very much just whatever of a show.
Yeah,
but this is the weirdest thing to be bouncy. The show also felt like it was saying whatever about itself. The show didn't even seem into itself. That's a weird sentence and maybe a little esoteric,
right.
But that's how it felt. As I'm watching, I'm like, the show doesn't even care about itself.
You're right. It felt like somebody from the boardroom came in and was like, all right, guys,
whatever.
New season of anime. We need a mech something. It can be androids. It could be robots. We just need something cyberpunky. That Cyberpunk Edgerunners just came out, did really well for that one studio. So we got to like just come up with something. Like we got a presentation in 3 hours.
Exactly.
let's just get it together. Yeah, get me a script.
So they cobble together a bunch of elements from a lot of other shows that are running right now. I mean, with the racism thing, you know, obviously parallels to Crybaby and like, you know, racism's always been like a undercurrent.
Of course.
In Japanese media right now, just because, you know, when you have a collectivist society, you know, it is kind of, you know, accepting other races and other cultures is always going to be hard for them just to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, tribalism in general, humans are, you know, we're animals. And we sense a different animal, we start throwing spears at it, you know. That's and you know, and we would steal mutton and then we all retreat to our huts. That's how we would be.
That's our design.
Yeah, that's how we were designed.
That's
how we would be without this pesky thing called society keeping us in line and entertaining us.
That's right. Exactly. But this isn't one of the things that entertained us, unfortunately, I don't think.
No. I was so fucking bored.
I was very bored.
I was honestly about to say, at one point I was going to ask you, like, should we just not talk about this for the pod? And like, at one point I was honestly considering that, but I knew we would have a fun time gabbing about it. And also,
I think that the thing that I really wanted to do this episode on was because, first of all, it would have been nice to talk about New Haven Pizza. But second of all, it was mostly just about how uninspired some new stuff can be, but also how good some new stuff can be that we've been seeing. Like, we just covered a seventh time loop recently.
Yes.
That was great. I feel like it's just kind of such a mixed bag nowadays with like the newest anime. It's like you either get something that's very derivative and boring, or you get something that's actually trying to do something a little different off the beaten path.
That's
what we need more of. We need more like differences and like changes and progression in the genre.
That's the thing now.
If this is what we're going to get continuously, ain't nobody progressing from this.
But the thing is, do people want progression?
Maybe they don't. I mean, we see how many isekais are peddled every season.
Well, and some people are like, oh, this is a really bad, dumb, drain brain show, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, yes. And that's the wild part. But that's kind of why I was like, oh, we should talk about it. We should kind of gab it up and say what we got to say about stuff like
this. Well, don't get me wrong. I'm so glad we did, but I was going in. I was a little apprehensive. I'm like, how much can we say?
Yeah. I mean, not a lot because it didn't give us a lot.
Nope, but we'll keep going through the trials and tribulations and checking out more modern stuff because A, it's all a lot of fun because for every dud, you get something really good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I still like anime.
I guess I do. It's bad. That's right, everybody. The fun is over today. Thanks so much for clicking on the episode. But the fun does not have to stop here. You can hit us up anywhere that you can find us on Instagram or TikTok at Bad Anime Pod, or you can even email us to get in touch with us directly at badanimepod@gmail.com. If you got any opinions or you just want to send some hate mail or love mail, we'll take both. We don't care. Thanks so much for listening, everybody, and have a great day.
Simple Equations Podcast Network.